I'm Philip from Oracle, Colorado, and you're listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast, brought to you by MyCustomSportsChair.com, where you can get any logo you want on the sports chair that you want. I guess it's a chair, and the logo makes it a sports chair, so that's why it's MyCustomSportsChair.com. Tell them PHN sent you. If you need a picture of our great producer, Richard Cote, we can always make that available on social, so you can download and put it on your chair, and you can put your tush on his face.
Nobody needs that.
Lonnie Goldsmith joining Richard this week. It was a different twist on your face.
Yes, just stop. Let's move on.
Yes, God, I wish this was video sometimes for the people could see that. That was a great reaction. That's a screen grab for the Twitter. Okay. That's a screen grab for the Twitter. Just challenging you right there as you edit this. We've got news. We've got notes. I'm going to go right to the hottest team in the land. If you like country music, that's the second hottest thing in Vegas right now, because the Predators, for 18 straight games, are getting at least a point.
It's unbelievable. I mean, they're playing such good hockey right now. And they're winning all kinds of ways.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like 1-0 against the Red Wings. A 5-4 thriller last night, as we're recording this on Wednesday this week. Vegas killing the Sharks, because who doesn't? Killing the Avalanche, you know?
Yep.
Doing it on the road in Winnipeg, for God's sakes. I mean, which is not an easy place to play for them historically. You know, the last time they, like, have you guys looked at what the last time they lost was and how bad it was?
No.
Back on February 15th, so a little Valentine's Day hangover, where they lost at home 9-2 to the Stars. And since then, they've woken up.
You could say that.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, I mean, they went on a 5-game road trip after that. Like, so you go back to then, where they were not solidly in the playoff race, back in the middle of February. They then rip off at St. Louis, at Vegas, at the Kings, at the Sharks, at the Ducks, scoring 4+ in every game on that road trip. Or sorry, 3+. No, sorry, 4+. Yeah. No, three four games plus. Of four, two four games plus. Of five. Yep. Yeah. They just been rolling. I mean, so who had the hot, offensively minded Nashville Predators on your bingo card in March?
When was the last time, just out of curiosity, if either of you can pull this out, when was the last time the Nashville Predators have ever been accused of being offensive forward?
They've been offensive.
Offensive, yeah. Yes.
Yes, but offensive. Not offensive. Never? Never.
I don't think so.
No. This has never been their brand.
No.
I mean, remember when Barry Trotz finally left, the whole question was, so he's going to do what with Ovi, and how is he going to get his style to Washington? And, I mean, it worked. But, yeah, this is not your... Well, this is not our Nashville Predators. They're not old enough for our father's Nashville Predators. This is not our Nashville Predators.
That's right.
No. I mean, not crazy. Crazy. I mean, they were a negative plus minus. They're now 26 on the good side in this 18-game point streak. Let's put them up there. 236 goals. I mean, 236 goals. That's more than the Kings. That's more than the Jets.
Oh, wow.
It's a remarkable.
It's more than the Capitals.
Yeah.
I mean, the Capitals struggled early this year, but, you know.
More than the Panthers.
The Capitals are a minus 26. The Capitals and the Flyers, two teams that Detroit is chasing, are the only two teams in the playoff positions with negative goal differentials right now. What they're doing is remarkable, and it's a complete team effort night in and night out. I mean, last night, like, Vegas is Vegas, and, you know, Vegas is really good, and they're chasing Vegas down in the, they're not chasing them anymore. They've now
surpassed them.
Yeah. Or they recently surpassed them, but they are right there neck and neck with Vegas in the wild card race, and came back from 4-1 down in the third.
Well, and how do you feel if you're the Blues and the Wild, who have both run off some pretty good streaks in the last couple weeks as well, and all they've done is lose ground in the playoff race.
Right. I mean, in the Wild beat Nashville.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In overtime. Yeah, yeah, it's listen, every once in a while you run on these streaks and there just so happens to be a buzzsaw playing even better up in front of you.
Yeah, it's, and then last night after the game, may have been top five hockey quote ever. Ryan O'Reilly was asked about this. And Gustav Nyquist and Philip Forsberg, who were his line mates, he called them the Swedish meatballs.
His Swedish meatballs.
His Swedish meatballs.
Yes.
I mean, now we need like a certain, there's got to be a sponsorship from that blue and yellow furniture store coming for that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's got to be.
Assemble your own line.
There's got to be like some, I mean, the team has to make some sort of Swedish meatballs gear, right?
I mean, obvious shirts are Chicago centric, but I mean, man, you can just market a shirt to Nashville right now.
Yeah.
Right now. My Swedish meatball. I mean, it's could be quote of the year right there.
It's right up there. Yeah. I saw that last night and was just cackling. It was great.
So speaking of the Swedish meatballs, Forsberg, 81 points on the season now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10 game-winning goals. Talk about clutch.
Oof.
I think he's got three or four of those in this streak going on right here. Ryan O'Reilly is up to 61 points. He's been on a heater. You know, Nyquist, 65. Yossi doing Yossi things. He's over 50 assists now. And they're, I mean, they're getting spread out scoring on the team. That's the thing.
Well, hang back up a sec, though. Not just, I mean, Yossi, 54 assists, 19 goals.
Yeah.
And plus 19. So it's not like his, I know plus minus is not a perfect stat. I get it. But
yeah, come on, old man.
I don't know. I'm just saying his five on, like what he's doing, you know, five on five and 11 of his goals are even strength. Like he's not sacrificing his defense.
No, he's
to get on the score sheet.
Yeah, he's four away from his career high in goals.
Yeah.
When he had that 96 point season in 21-22. So probably not gonna catch 96 points, but definitely his goals are within reach for a career. Oh, by the way, he's also doing 24 and a half ice minutes.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad.
No.
Not bad. Oh, and five of his 19 are game winning goals. Not bad.
Not bad off the blue line. And it does help when, you know, a guy like, you know, in overtime, you're looking for your defenseman to activate a little bit. So I don't know which of those are coming in overtime or not, but two of those are overtime goals. Sorry. I didn't scroll over far enough in the column.
And just in case you're wondering how it's going on the back end, UC Saros is playing really, really, really well in this streak. I mean, really well. The other night, gave up four goals. They still won, but shut out. 20 save performance, 24 save performance, 29, 33 save performance in a loss, in an overtime loss. You know, 20. I mean, he is playing as well as he has played maybe in his career in this last month.
But again, it's also the whole, it's the collective right now, because first of all, they have to have two Finnish goalkeepers apparently in Nashville. Is that the rule?
It's a rule.
It's a rule. Right. Yeah. Kevin Lankinen got the shutout in Florida.
Who doesn't do that?
Yeah. What team's backup goalie goes and shuts out Florida in March? Nobody's is the answer.
Yeah. And by the way, both the goalies were in for that loss against Dallas. Lankinen gave up five of the nine.
Yeah.
Playing 40 minutes that game. And yeah, so ever since then, I mean, he's played four games out of the 18. So yeah, he's done well, but he's only had to do it four times. I mean, UC Saros to me is the story.
Of course it is. But I mean,
he was about to be, depending on the rumors.
Yes.
He was on the block.
Yes. I mean, that's
block the other thing is what he said.
Right. That Dallas game happened 2 weeks before the deadline.
Yeah. Just about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like, you know, and Lankinen, you know, two of his, first of all, he's only played on the road in these last four. Like his last four games in the streak have all been road games.
Yep.
And yes, the middle two are, you know, Anaheim and Columbus, whatever. But like the first and last games in the streak at Vegas and at Florida.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Giving up only three goals in those two games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Nashville now is equidistant from third place and wild card two. So they're not rearview mirroring anymore. I mean, they are 10 points clear of the Blues with 10 games to play. I think you can start to pen them in as a playoff team.
Well, I think so too. And, it's funny. You were talking about how dispiriting this must be for St. Louis and Minnesota, who have played really well in the stretch. The Blues are 6-3-1 in their last 10. The Wild are 6-1-3 in their last 10. The Winnipeg Jets are 4-5-1 in their last 10.
Yeah, that's not good.
All of a sudden, there's got to be a little bit of concern in Manitoba about the Nashville Predators roaring up behind them.
Well, we were talking about, them playing which wildcard team of winning the division not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing with the Central. Not only is Winnipeg playing bad and Nashville's playing out of their minds, and we talk about Blues and Wild playing well. Oh, by the way, the Avalanche just had a 9-game winning streak snapped, and Nathan MacKinnon looks all-worldly again. The Stars have won 5 in a row. So Winnipeg is picking kind of the wrong time to do what they're doing. Like, the very wrong time to do what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the Central is there's not a – Dallas and Colorado are always going to be the top teams, right? But there's just not a lot of room for error if you're in that chasing pack. And, Winnipeg is swooning at the wrong time of the season.
Yeah, they finished their 5-game road trip out east with a loss to Jersey, got doubled up on the island, and then the Capitals shut them out. And the Capitals don't shut anybody out.
And then they come home and lose in overtime to Edmonton.
That's a respectable loss.
It's a respectable loss.
But all this came after pasting. I mean, they pasted the Ducks and Columbus. I mean, they went straight set 6-love, 6-1. And then they 4-2 in Madison Square Garden. So things are looking real good with a 3-game winning streak, 4 out of 5, 6 out of 8. And now 3 in a row versus non-guaranteed playoff teams. I mean, they weren't losing to the juggernauts of the East. They were losing to potentially also Rans.
I mean, now you've got, and that's not good. Now you got Vegas coming up at home on Thursday. Ottawa, look, Ottawa's not good, but they can certainly be feisty.
Can
if
they?
Nothing else. I think they can. I think, if you feisty? Got a Kachuk, if you got a Kachuk, you can be okay. Take them out of it, fine. That's their last Eastern Conference game. The rest, they've got Vegas and the Kings at home. They got Calgary at home. And they got one more 4-game roadie at Minnesota, at Nashville, at Dallas, at Colorado.
So I guess the only good news for Winnipeg, Richard, is they've got a 14-point lead of not making the playoffs with 10 games to go. So they're good. They're good for playoff bound.
I doubt they're going to be losing the rest of their, 10 games. You pretty much just have to beat Montreal and you're in. That's about it. Yeah. Everything else is kind of a throwaway. If you just want to make the playoffs, if you want to be in the top three, if you want to be considered for the division lead, they got a lot of work left in front of them.
And Richard, I would argue that the only thing that could save them, they're 5 points behind the division lead. They do have a game in hand, but that's big.
Like, right.
At this point, if you're the second seed, the third seed, or one of the two wild cards, you're going to play Colorado, Dallas, or Vancouver. Pick your poison. Like, to me, winning the Central is the safest thing. Now, you may play a red-hot Nashville team, but at some point they're going to come down to earth. Vegas is like... I'm not sure anybody like I'm not sure for Winnipeg, second place, third place, or either of the wild cards makes a difference for them in their current form.
I think right now they've had the best luck against Colorado. So if Winnipeg is trying to play this out right, the best case scenario for them is to get that second spot in the Central and host Colorado first round. Otherwise, I mean, Dallas kind of has their number. Obviously, Nashville's been, I mean, they wouldn't play Nashville unless they won the division. And Vancouver just looked hot all season. So I think if Winnipeg is trying to play the odds right, they'd want to win that second spot.
And Lonnie, the problem for Winnipeg is a couple of weeks ago, you read some people and Connor Hellebuck was getting talked up for the Hart consideration. Like, not Vezina. Let's talk about him. There was, I mean, he was, I mean, when you looked at the team, he was carrying them last handful of games. I mean, he's not, forget, you know, Hart. He hasn't even looked like an all-star in the last couple of weeks. And I know, I mean, last night he's had to make 38 plus saves. I think like three of the last six games. So it's not like they're helping him. But he's been giving up a lot of goals. He, you know, 3 on 9, 3 on 22 and 5 on 31. Not Hellebuck type numbers.
No, it's not. In so much of a goalie's, you know, success or failure comes from what's going on in front of him. That's always been the case. And I'm sorry, anybody who's talking up for the Hart this year. I mean, even before those last 2 weeks, the numbers of some of the leading skaters this season are just stupid. The scoring race coming down the stretch is insane. So I'm not having anything of a goalie, of somebody trying to talk a goalie into the situation, but no, he has not played. But look, 4 on 42 against Edmonton is totally respectable.
Yes.
You know, throw those, you know, games at Columbus and at the Rangers, 3 allowed on 72 shots combined is great. But yeah, it's the back-to-back 808 save percentage and 842 save percentage is a bit of a head scratcher. Also, it would be okay to not play him in a back-to-back.
It tells you how much confidence they have in their backup right now. Huh?
Right. But you know, he's coming off seasons where he's played 66 games 2 years ago, 64 last year. He's played 53 this year, but still, like, it's okay if you want to not start him back to backs on the road.
Winnipeg, Nashville. Where do they end up?
Winnipeg and Nashville.
Yeah.
I see they flip flop. I would bet that Winnipeg gets a wild card. Nashville sneaks into the top three.
Lonnie?
I think Nashville gets third and Winnipeg wild card. Schedule is a little more favorable for the Preds coming down the stretch.
I think they tie and Winnipeg gets it on the ROW tiebreaker.
You just want that tiebreaker to be put into place.
I think they're going to finish with the exact same points.
They got ground to make up. Winnipeg's got, wait, I'm sorry. Who did you say gets it on the ROW?
Winnipeg does.
Yeah. Winnipeg's got the lead right now by three.
Yeah. And I think they
some ground to
win enough. Yeah. Yeah. So that's my prediction. So yeah. So here's the big question, guys. In the West, everything's in pen now for the eight. We're penned in the eight, right? St. Louis, Minnesota, Calgary, thanks for playing. Go home.
I think so.
Yeah, agree.
Let's move over to the East. Congratulations to New York Rangers. They're the first team to get the Magic X. Because this time of year, X, Y, and Z, baby. Best letters in the alphabet when you look at standings. So they are the first team to 100 points. Their 48th win last night. So they are the first NHL playoff team of the year. They're third in a row. They're playing well. Carolina playing well. Philadelphia, guys, not playing well with Tampa and Washington. You know, Tampa behind them in the standings because of the division they're in. But Washington coming up hot on there. And you've got Detroit on the other side coming up hot for that final wild card. I don't think you can do any type of pen in the bottom of the East.
Oh, no chance. No chance. Because, I mean, that's at this point, and this was something that the Red Wings broadcast was talking about last night in Washington, is that at this point, the way the Red Wings are playing, the best hope you have probably is that Washington surpasses Philly. And that's who Detroit has to set their sights on for that wild card too, is to be higher in the standings than Philly and let Philly drop out.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's a couple things you can pen in. I mean, besides the Rangers making the playoffs, they're only 3 points ahead. They got a game in hand in Carolina. That's still a race. Florida, Boston, they're going to battle it out till the end. That's a virtual tie right now there. And Boston has to get more points because that's a huge ROW difference of 5 right now. Really, I think the only thing you can probably pen in right now, I'm going to say, is Toronto. I don't think Tampa catches them. Toronto is the third spot, just waiting to see if they're going to play Boston or Florida. I'll put Toronto and Penn in the third. I don't think Tampa's catching them. And it's not that Tampa's going to play bad. I think Toronto is going to finish some good hockey down the stretch. And Tampa's schedule is not easy by any means coming down the stretch. And they do play each other twice. There's a home and home, not a home and home. There's one in each place, including the last day of the season, which would be so fun if it meant something.
I mean, it's only 4 points in 11 games. And you mentioned they play each other twice. I don't know if we can pin Toronto into that third spot.
I am. I'm just saying I am.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that, especially with Toronto on a 2-game losing streak and playing 500 at best.
I'm not there either yet.
When I say Washington, Buffalo, Montreal, Jersey, Pittsburgh. Now they finish the season with Florida and Tampa, which potentially could be a meaningless game for Florida. But I mean, I think Toronto's got an easier schedule down the stretch than Tampa does.
I don't know.
That's why I'm pinning them in the third.
I know Pittsburgh, Columbus, Ottawa, Buffalo, Montreal. It's a lot of teams with nothing to play for there on Tampa's schedule too.
Yeah. No, I
listen, all it takes is a sweep of both those games, sweep the two with Toronto and everything flips. I put nothing in pen yet.
But your predictions don't mean anything this year.
That's fair.
You know what? I think the Tampa has just as good a chance at catching Toronto as I have catching you in our predictions. I am one behind you.
Ooh, that's, I think you have a better chance.
We'll see how I do down the stretch, but
okay. Got it. Who's winning the Atlantic?
Oh, I, Florida, this is their division to lose right now. They got a game in hand. They're 2 points behind Boston. Like you mentioned, that ROW is heavily in their favor. I think it's going to be Florida.
I love that the ROW is looming in so many places. And we can't keep from talking about it. Yep. My inclination is that it's probably going to be Florida. I don't feel great about it. Interesting. Florida and Tampa both have a back-to-back Toronto, Montreal in there.
Yeah.
On the road, on the schedule.
I'm going to say
Florida. It's really close.
Yeah, well, Boston's got a tougher schedule. But Boston, the schedule makers did them no favors down the stretch. I mean, they've got in Tampa tonight. Then they get a couple days. They go to Washington. So not tough there. But then they got to go to Nashville, a day off, go to Carolina. Then they come home for Florida, Carolina. And then they finish the season at Pittsburgh, at Washington, at Ottawa. So they've got to get through this stretch where those last three games are versus also-rans. Then you've got something to think about. But they've got to make it through a Florida, two with Carolina, and a trip to Nashville.
By the way, that last game is a home game against Ottawa.
Correct. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Boston plays better at home, so that's even more in their favor. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I mean, who doesn't play well versus Ottawa? Very few teams.
San Jose?
They don't play well versus anybody.
See?
They gave up a 4-0 lead in a period and a half the other night to a team just as bad as them. Anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Florida, I do. I like Florida's stretch better than Boston's right now.
Agreed. Yeah.
Which makes me want Toronto even more to be the three. Boston, Toronto to start off the playoffs.
That'd be
I like
good.
That so much better than Boston, Tampa to start the playoffs. Yeah. Florida, Tampa in the first round and Boston, Toronto in the first round. Sign me up.
That'd be fun.
Oh yeah. That's
Tampa,
good
Florida
right
in the, I mean, Tampa, Florida to start the East. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's what everybody would, that's what any hockey fan would love.
Now, yeah, of course, the wrench in the works is the Atlantic winner finishing above New York and having two wild cards out of the Atlantic.
Yeah, getting wild card to getting Washington or Detroit or Philly or whoever.
That's right.
The non-Tampa wild card, you mean?
Well, it'd be Detroit in that case, yeah.
Right, yeah, because yeah, exactly. Finishing second in the Metropolitan is starting to look like the best position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as of right now, you get the Flyers. Yeah, why not?
I mean, versus whoever Wildcard 2 is, and whoever Wildcard 2 is going to probably come in playing hot, unless it is the Flyers that somehow
limp in.
Right. But I mean, potentially, you know, second, third Metropolitan is the easiest of the craziness. So we'll see. I mean, it's the bottom of the East versus the middle of the West, I think, is the intriguing matchups that we've got down the stretch here.
Yeah.
10 games to go, boys. 10 games to go, and we're in the fun time of the year.
Happens fast.
Less than a month.
It happened fast.
Did it?
Right. Feels like it.
Says nobody who follows NHL regular season hockey. Happened fast. Does it ever happen fast?
I don't know. Sometimes. I feel like there's been some big movements and like big like
okay
momentum changes in the last couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, I don't think it happens fast, but if you need to trim yourself up fast, Manscaped's probably the way to do it. Manscaped.com/PHN20 to get your discount. Manscaped.com makes you look good in all the places that you want your hair taken care of. We're going to switch to the NCAA route now a little bit before we come back to the good old National Hockey League. The women did it again. Ohio State, Wisconsin, like literally a carbon copy from the year before. Same teams, same score, different result. And it happened in Durham, but not that Durham. Yep. Yep. If you went to Durham, North Carolina, when you saw Durham for the women's Frozen Four, you were at the wrong arena. It was not there. It was in Durham, New Hampshire.
It was not there.
Yeah. But Lonnie, Ohio State flips the script.
It's,
I mean, are there two more powerhouse teams right now going on in women's hockey?
No. I mean, it's interesting. It's for, I don't even know how many years at this point, 15. It's been Wisconsin and.
Yeah.
Wisconsin and Minnesota. And now we have Wisconsin and Ohio State. It's, I mean, it'd be great if there was a Big Ten women's hockey conference as opposed
Wisconsin wasn't in it in 2002. That's when Ohio State won their, Ohio State beat Duluth that year when Duluth was in all their glory on both sides.
That's true.
That happened in Happy Valley. So it doesn't really happen because you can't get there. That's probably why you forgot about it.
That's right. Certainly at least the last 15 years. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So just to run it down for you, Richard, when Wisconsin has been in the championship, 24, 23, 21, 19, 17. And then you got to go back to 12, 11, 9, 8, 7. Do I have to keep going? 6, 5.
6. Six, six, I went. Six, oh, I went to. Five, that sorry. That was at Mariucci. That one I covered.
Yep.
That was, yeah.
So that's it. Yeah, since six. So it's just like, you know, so, yeah,
they've been
two
to
out
a
three
few
years.
Yeah,
two out
right.
Of 3 years. But yeah, it was a good game. It was a real good game.
Yeah.
I mean, just what here's what's crazy about the women's tournament. In the last four tournaments, so post COVID, one goal games every year. 1-0, 1-0, 3-2, 2-1.
That's
good hockey, man.
That is good hockey.
It's what we've come to. Obviously, like, I'm not going to equate men's NHL professional hockey to women's collegiate hockey, but it's like, it's what we've come to expect in either playoff time or one and done time. You know, game seven, we expect tight, close, nerve wracking games. And that's what we've gotten in these last four championship games.
Man, the last blowout was 17 when it was in St. Charles, Missouri at the Family Arena when Clarkson beat Wisconsin 3-0. I didn't like that game. That was kind of boring. But yeah. And then we turn to the men's side. BU, Denver, Boston College joined Michigan State as the top seeds. Mr. Homer, we'll just start with you in the college hockey world. I mean, I know what you think of it. But by the way, your regional, holy crap. It's Michigan and then those guys from NODAC.
It's obscene. Listen, so you want to be a one seed, huh? it's an insane regional. Western Michigan, I think, is the smallest of the arenas of those four.
That's the 6,000 average.
Munn is not a ton bigger than that. NODAC is the biggest of the.
Yeah, they got like 30,000 for a hockey game in NODAC, I think, is what it is. Something like that.
Something.
Yeah.
The fact that those four teams get to play at 2,500 seats is just insane. And some of it is just bracketing principles and the way they, you know, the rules set for how they do things. It would have been great if they could have put one Big Ten team in each of the four regionals instead of putting two in one of them. But oh well, that's how it goes. It's going to be a phenomenal tournament. Michigan State from a Homer standpoint, we've exceeded all expectations this year. Having the prospective number two pick in the draft as a freshman certainly helps. This is probably the BC Invitational. I mean, if you gave me BC or the field, I'm taking BC.
That's what I mean. I think there's a lot of number two teams. And I'm not sure which is the number two team, but this year there's clearly a number one team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clearly BC. Yet,
that team is so loaded. It's unbelievable.
Yet BU is where the eyes are because of Macklin Celebrini.
Right.
The prospective number one pick going to, I believe he'll be playing with Connor Bedard next year, is what the NHL is going to set up. I think that's how it works.
How many years in a row do they need to rig the lottery for you?
They rigged it for Edmonton. You know, hey, Edmonton didn't take advantage when it was rigged for them. You know, so now we'll see. I'll take all the rigging I can get as a Hawks fan. Come on. So Maryland Heights, Missouri is where it is. The joke is it's now Michigan Heights, Missouri. This weekend, I mean, three out of four teams from like what is the committee doing?
All three Michigan schools in the tournament are in St. Louis. Yes,
like what's going on there with that? I mean, absolutely crazy for that. And it's, you know, we host the Frozen Four next year, but in the big arena. So go figure with that. Richard, I mean, you've got anybody else but BC taking this?
No. Like we just mentioned, this is a team that's just so freaking stacked. I wish that I could forecast a close final, a close championship like we saw on the women's side. I don't see that this year with BC.
Yeah, you know who I feel really bad for is Michigan Tech. Like, hey, you're going to Providence, like right in the backyard of the big old number one team. Good luck in the first round.
What happens when you're the 16?
I mean, it's just one of those years where it's literally in BC's backyard. Providence is like 45 minutes away from campus.
Look, it's happened before. I mean, Minnesota was the number one overall.
That's true.
Lost to Holy Cross, I believe, at home at Mariucci, not even in their backyard. Not like down the street at the X, at their home rink. Stranger things have happened. I mean, it wouldn't be quite as strange as this, though. I think BC losing in their first game would be significant upset. Michigan State played there in October, got swept. The first game was respectable, at least 6-4. The second one, not so much. But there is no shame in losing to that group.
Now, the committee did a really good job helping out BU. They sent him to Sioux Falls. Kind of people thought maybe they'd go to the St. Louis area instead, but they went to Sioux Falls. They avoid Nodak going to Sioux Falls as the two there. Instead, they get Minnesota, so the closest team there. Omaha, the closest team. Minnesota and RIT. But Omaha's fan base hasn't exactly traveled well the last few years. Minnesota not being a top team, Easter weekend, let's see how well they travel to South Dakota. So I think they gave BU probably a pretty favorable spot. They didn't send them to Massachusetts, where Denver has to face UMass in the first round in Springfield, Mass. So, I mean, I think that it's pretty fair for BU. And really, I mean, the St. Louis regional, like, nobody's home. That's really the most neutral of them all.
If the one seeds win out, like, Denver arguably has the worst first-round draw.
Yeah, they do.
But they have the most favorable second round if all the number ones win.
Yeah,
BC is looking at either a Hobie Baker finalist in Wisconsin's goalie or the defending champions in Quinnipiac. BU is potentially looking at Omaha, and Michigan State's getting either Nodak or Michigan. Like, and yeah. I'm not sure I could handle a fifth Michigan State game this year.
Yeah,
after I was a intense basket case on Saturday night watching the overtime, like, I couldn't do that again.
And what's even crazier is if things hold up, Michigan State becomes a really tasty Minnesota team at that point with the Big Ten team. Because you throw the two Boston teams in Minnesota, Minnesota people don't like Boston. No. There's not going to be any home ice advantage in the Excel Center for the Boston boys.
No, we've all seen we've seen why am I blanking on the name Miracle? Of the movie? Miracle. Thank you.
The Miracle on Ice team.
That's the one.
Yeah, that one.
We've all seen Miracle. We know how much they don't like each other.
You weren't thinking of Mystery Alaska. That's not what you were. We're going with Miracle.
Sneaky underrated movie.
Oh.
Come on. You don't buy Russell Crowe as a hockey player?
There's a lot of things I don't buy in that movie.
Anyway. Right. So many things don't work in that movie. Anyway, I digress. No, I think Michigan State will definitely get some possible building advantage. Also, my inability to cover the championship game means MSU is a nailed on pick to play in it. So the jinx has worked out in the favor of the Spartans.
They're already booked on April 11th and 13th, huh?
I can't be there the 13th, so yeah.
It's a shame.
It's the price I'm willing to pay for an A.
There you go. Richard, Denver, they going to represent out west?
I hope so. I don't know. I have not been able to follow them as closely as I had hoped this year, but I don't know. I like the matchup against UMass, but I'm also scared for the matchup against UMass because, you know, Denver doesn't look as strong as they have in years past. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to some good hockey, but I'd give them a 50-50 chance getting out of the first round.
Yeah, I think like Lonnie said, the first round game is the toughest. Playing UMass in Springfield, Mass is probably the hardest part. Maine and Cornell, I mean, if Denver gets past that, to me, I honestly think out of the four pods, they've got the easier four regions. They've got the easiest path to St. Paul.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, BC should just dominate. But once again, Hobie Baker goalie and defending champ makes you – anything can happen in one game.
Right. I mean, Wisconsin, like having watched them a few times this year, they're a really challenging team to play against. Yeah. Now BC going forward, their attack is just stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, when their first line basically just gets dropped in as the number one line for the US at the under 20s, like, I mean, come on, what the hell are you supposed to do with that? You know, their USA line is amazing. And so, yeah, it's they're an incredibly dominant team. And they just hammered BU in the in their conference tournament final at the Garden last week.
Yeah, it's they're playing well. They're playing well. I mean, Leonard and Gauthier are just, I mean, and then throw Will Smith in there. I mean, three guys in the top 10 and scoring goals, just it's stupid. They're stupid good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's so much talent on that team. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So
yeah, Will Smith only with four goals and toss in an assist for good measure against BU last weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 35 on the season for Cutter, Ryan Leonard with 27 for good measure. You know, Will Smith, 23 to be, you know, finishing the top 10 of scoring. You know, Gabe Perraud, who is a freshman with 18 goals, he's kind of come out of nowhere. He wasn't one of those heralded freshmen. He's had a good second half of the season. Yeah. So it will be interesting. I mean, what you do notice is when you look up and down the scoring, almost everybody that's in the scoring is in the tournament. It's besides, you know, Sam Morton from Minnesota State who had a really good year, but the rest of them, it's Denver, Quinnipiac, BC, BU, Michigan. You know, the only thing missing is Michigan State. You guys are not the offensive juggernaut to make it there. You guys really don't have one guy that's done it. It's pretty balanced attack with some good defense for Michigan State.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredibly young defense also. Yeah. Four freshmen amongst the playing group and a freshman goalie. Artem Levchnov is the presumptive number two pick. Certainly the best of the highest rated of the defense group in sort of that tier after Celebrini. Depending on who gets the number two pick is likely to go with him, you know, big mobile defenseman who great all arounder. So yeah, I mean, he's a little bit different from, you know, Ziv Buyum from Denver, who's great and is a ton of fun to watch, but is definitely more offensive minded.
Yep. So it'll be fun on the ESPN family of networks to check that out. So we'll be, sure, a bunch of it. We'll be watching. It's man, it's gonna be, men's hockey has just gotten so much better now that more guys are going the college route. The NCAA men's tournament is so good to watch. So good to watch.
I think so much of it stems from the fact, I'm guessing, is that teams aren't in such a hurry to sign their guys out of like the U18, like if you're drafting, mm-hmm. especially American kids out of the U18 programs, not necessarily rushing them to get into camp. I mean, you've got to be at a certain level to get there.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. the development that's happening at colleges is awesome. Has improved so much over the years.
It has. Back to the men's game. This is the FOCO segment of the show, Richard. Because FOCO makes some great bobbleheads.
They sure do.
And the bobblehead mystery has been solved. Pittsburgh has found the stolen Yagers. They found
them. Yes, they found them.
People can turn in their vouchers and get the stolen Yagers.
Absolutely.
Supposedly a ransom was involved. I mean, they were thieved.
Something makes me... No, weary
don't,
about
don't
that.
Go there. Don't
Something
do it.
Something makes me weary. When they negotiate the return of the stolen property, I don't know. Like,
wow. So, are you conspiracy theorizing that this was done on purpose?
Like 60%. I'm conspiracy theorizing. Like, I don't know. It something's just fishy. Something just doesn't jive with me on this one. And
this is there's no way. Look, I love a good conspiracy theory as much as the next person, but like, this is such a pain in the butt logistically for the team to have to do this at some other random time or times. I can't imagine. Like, it's Jaromir freaking Jagr. Like, they don't need to do something like this to, they don't have to create something like this to drum up more interest.
Absolutely not. Which, you know, why I'm like, you know, it could be, but most likely not. I don't know. Like the whole explanation around it just seems a little far fetched to me. The team just could have said, "We found it. Here are your bobbleheads. be happy with them. They didn't have to go into this, you know, explanation of, you know, negotiating the return of the cargo and where it was located. I don't think fans needed that much of an explanation.
So you're saying this is an international conspiracy?
Or at least an inter-organization conspiracy.
Uh-huh. So like,
maybe none of this actually happened. Maybe the truck didn't actually get stolen, is what I'm saying.
Could this have been a supply chain issue? And instead of admitting that they weren't coming in on time, they concocted this whole thing because they didn't order from FOCO.
That could be it.
Could be it.
Or, you know, I don't know. We need to get somebody from the organization on this. I want answers to how they negotiated, who they negotiated with. I need those answers.
Well, as the producer, why don't you put a call into the Pittsburgh organization see if we can get an interview.
I'll see if I can.
Lonnie.
Yes.
What's your thoughts?
I think this is absurd. I think it's absurd that we are
Richard or the story.
Richard. Okay. I think the story is hilarious. Stuff happens. I think Richard trying to find a conspiracy needle in the haystack is like, you have too much time on your hands.
Do I?
Probably not, but that's crazy to me.
Nothing fishy about that explanation to you.
Due to sunshine laws, there are ways to pull public information records.
There is, yeah.
And the FBI, the LAPD, and Homeland Security have all worked together. Why don't you request some records for PHN? Let's get an expose done.
Yeah, let's get a FOIA request on this.
There you go.
I mean, this has got Katie Strang type stuff written all over it. I mean, you can probably contact her at the Athletic. She goes in depth. I mean, let's get an expose. I want a PHN expose. I want the best team on this.
Okay.
And if we can't get that, I want you on it.
You got me. So let's do this.
Yeah. Pull it up. I think that if they would have made it up, I don't think they're naming agencies. The naming of the agencies makes me feel.
Yeah.
And the fact that Yager was in town. Why would he have come to town? You know, like, I don't know.
I'm not saying that this is a foolproof explanation.
Oh, you're backing off quick.
Am I?
Feels like it. Lonnie, doesn't feel like it a bit?
There is some serious backpedaling.
I'm just saying that there are, like, this explanation doesn't tell me what I need to know. That's all I've been trying to say.
What do you need to know? They found him.
That's all I need to know.
You don't appreciate details. If they didn't give any details, you'd believe it more?
Yeah, probably.
Well, we found him in a warehouse.
Sure, fine, whatever. I don't need to know that you negotiated a price to get them back. Like, who did you negotiate with? Have there been any charges?
They negotiated with terrorists.
Apparently, bobblehead terrorists.
Yes. Yes. No.
That bit of information just leads to more questions, and that's what's going through my brain.
Okay. I got a Jersey topic that's not on the rundown. In case you haven't seen it, Cleveland from the AHL, they're the monsters out there. They're wearing Eclipse jerseys that glow in the dark.
Ooh.
Like the crest, like the eyes, it pretty cool. Pretty cool. It's the only Jersey news I got this week. We haven't had Jersey news in a while, but yeah, they're pretty cool, the Eclipse jerseys that the Lake Erie Monsters are wearing.
And they are sold out.
They are sold out.
Or did the truck get stolen? And they're not. These are sweet. I'm sure they sold out.
You're not going to. Wow. You backed off that real quick. I call them Lake Erie. They're the Cleveland Monsters. Now I'm caught in my old. Yeah. The numbers and the crest glow.
That's fantastic.
Cool. That is
they look great. They're super sharp.
Yep. There you go. Sold out. Can't buy them in the Cleveland Cavaliers store right now. You'll have to wait. There you go. Final story to talk about before we go to our amazing predictions. Richard, you have desert dog news. You're trying to bring good news to the bad news dogs.
just a bright spot for a franchise and a fan base that's just had nothing to cheer about for the second half of the season. Yeah, they had plenty.
Whoa. Second half of the season?
They were in a playoff spot halfway through the season. But you got to play a full season to get that playoff spot. I understand. They were doing okay in the first part. They were far exceeding our expectations. They have now fallen back within our expectations since January. But we have Coyotes legend Shane Doan. His son played his first game with the Desert Dogs, scoring two goals in a 6-2 win over the Columbus Blue Jackets on Tuesday night. You know, good start for a legend family of the Arizona Coyotes. Shane Doan, the goal leader for the franchise, at 402 goals on the season. Add his son's two goals in, 404 for the family, still leading the organization.
Controversial take. Shane Doan is one of the most overrated players in modern NHL history.
Nothing controversial about that.
Okay, thank you. Richard, you're a Desert Dog supporter. I mean, the only thing great about him, he spent all 1,540 games with one team, with one franchise.
Kind of unheard of in recent years in the NHL or in professional sports period. So, yeah.
I mean, he obviously has like golf, must like Scottsdale in the offseason. Didn't want to uproot his... I'm sorry, 400 goals to lead a franchise, 400 goals in 1,500 games. I'm 21 year career, 1,500 games, phenomenal, but not even a point of game guy. No, not even barely a half a point of game guy.
But something for the Arizona crowd to be happy about when you're not playing in front of 5,000 fans on your home games. I don't know.
55 playoff just games.
I'm trying to bring in some sunshine, and you're just bringing in the clouds here.
Great. So he stayed around long enough that his kid, who grew up around the organization, played for him in front of 5,000 people, and 4,000 of them for the visiting team. Great news.
You think 4,000 Columbus Blue Jackets fans exist?
Okay. It was 3,000 people who don't care about either team.
There you go.
1,000 Columbus fans.
A lot of Arizona State fans went to see the ASU alum.
Exactly. 1,000 fans on spring break from Columbus, and then 1,000 Coyote season ticket holders.
There you go.
That was a breakdown.
I think you were giving too much credit to the visiting team.
I was. It's spring break. Maybe a lot. You circle it on the schedule before the year and plan a spring break trip.
So speaking of the stumbled on this, the Winnipeg Jets career leader in goals. Who is it?
What do you mean by Winnipeg Jets?
Winnipeg Jets as the current Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, the current.
No Googling, Richard.
Wheeler?
No. He has the most points, not the most goals.
Current. Like current franchise Winnipeg. Oh, God.
Current franchise Winnipeg.
Hmm.
That should be your hint.
It's not Andrew Ladd.
Because that would have to extend into the Thrashers.
Kovalchuk? There it is. Yes.
Okay.
Ilya Kovalchuk with 320 is the Winnipeg Jets career leader in goals, and I do not believe he ever suited up for the Winnipeg Jets.
This hockey is fun.
This is a fun fact.
Most goals in a season, Kovalchuk twice with 52. Most points in a season, Marian Hossa with 100. All happened in Atlanta.
Man, so not even Teemu. Teemu didn't score more goals than Shane Doan.
See, that's what I was wondering. That's what I was trying to find, and then I stumbled by the stat.
Let's see. I had read that he was the Coyotes leader. I don't. Maybe it's just since they moved from Winnipeg.
Wow, man, Teemu only played 4 years at Winnipeg. Where did I? 15 years in Anaheim.
Wow.
Only four in Winnipeg. Where did I? Why do I think he played?
I would have. In my mind, those are flipped. Like,
wow, only 147 goals, and like, good God, why do I picture Teemu more as a Jet? Like, I picture him as both, but like, I have this burning theory.
Jeremy Roenick has more goals for the organization than Teemu does.
Well, Roenick played about 6 years there.
Yeah, I think. I don't know.
He only played 4 years in Winnipeg.
Wild.
Wow.
No, that's Minnesota.
Whoa.
Thank you. Yeah. Well done.
Why do I, why is it because he won the Calder there and was just a stud?
Well, it's because that rookie, season was just,
is that what it was?
76 goals as a rookie. Yeah.
I just, I don't know. I just thought he played there longer.
76, 56, 132.
Okay.
As a rookie.
Isn't it amazing how certain guys get locked in your brain in a certain way that isn't reality?
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how many people... So, Richard, when you think of Ray Bourque...
Yeah.
I mean, it's Avalanche, right?
No, it's Bruins.
Really?
I mean, I know he won the Cup with Colorado, but he was only here for 2 years. So I always associate him as a Bruin because I was a giant Bruins fan back in the day. Fair. When he was playing with them for, what, 17, 18 seasons?
Which wouldn't, I bet you, but in Denver, I bet you're in the minority.
Oh, absolutely. Most people here probably never heard of him until he came to Colorado.
Yeah, like Adam Foote would be another one. I wonder what jersey people picture. I think probably Colorado because he finished his career there. But for a while, that Quebec jersey, more than the Colorado jersey, probably stood out.
I mean, same franchise, but...
Yeah, but I mean, it's the visual of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I forgot he moved with the team, honestly. I always associated with Colorado because of the rivalry.
Because of the cup. And I mean, for you, okay.
Fight night.
And it's... The thing is, so talk about rivalry. Like, I never picture Bob Probert as a Blackhawk. He's still a Red Wing to me.
Look, this is, and I'm going to switch sports on you, but like, this is being in Minnesota. This is something we get all the time with, you know, people who, you know, think Jack Morris is a Twin. Jack Morris pitched arguably the most famous Game 7 of a World Series in modern history. And he's from St. Paul. He played 1 year with the Twins and the first 12 or 13 with the Tigers. He's a Tiger. He's not a Twin.
I picture him as a Twin.
Do you really?
Yep. I forget he played for the Tigers.
Are you just trying to hurt me now?
No.
At the time, he was an American League player.
When I think of the Tigers back, like, to me, it's Trammell, Whitaker, and Cecil Fielder.
Yeah.
Kirk Gibson, Dodger.
Yeah.
Not jackass broadcaster for Tigers.
He's not a good broadcaster. I love Gibby, but he is not a good, he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah. Jack Morris and Kirk Gibson, I forget they ever play for the Tigers.
Kirk Gibson, incredible wide receiver in college, by the way.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Ricky Henderson.
Oakland.
Me too. So a lot of people would say the Mets.
Really?
I think, depending on...
He was those formative Oakland teams, though.
Agree. Well, yeah. Formative Oakland teams.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of this when you picture it's that. So, boy, that was a tangent from the Happy Doan family story.
You're welcome.
Our tangents are fun. So yeah, the hockey, man, that's a summer episode, Richard. A bunch of players we each come up with. Mm-hmm. We throw out hockey names and we say what jersey we picture them in.
Yeah. We'll do it.
Because there's some, I mean,
we got to start a list now so we remember this, because in the heat of the moment, nobody's going to remember.
No, that's what I'm saying. Keep your list. Keep it private. Don't put it like on the rundown.
Okay.
But if you're thinking, when you randomly think of names of multiple jerseys, like who do you picture them in?
All right. I'm starting a note right now on my computer.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, I'll throw one out right now that we're all going to jump to anyway. Jumbo Joe. When you think of Joe Thornton,
easy.
It used to be easy. It's complicated the last couple of years now.
Oh,
easy. I still think it's easy.
Boston.
Sharks.
Yeah, Sharks. Yeah, it is easy. Yeah. But I knew you would think of him as Boston because of what he, like, that time. Like, that's the thing. It's this visual that we get as fans.
Right. I mean, I attached to him early on as Boston. San Jose is the easy answer. Like, I just felt like I had to throw out Boston because
But for you, it makes sense.
Right.
100% yeah. makes sense. It's okay. I mean, man, that was good. It's good stuff. We can.
It is. Yeah. We'll do something. I like it.
It's that time.
It is that time.
The time.
The time for our PHN picks of the week. And listeners, I'm going to throw this one out to you too.
Ooh.
Not just for our picks this week, but if you have a player that you would like us to discuss about which jersey they were in, send it to us on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it these days at PHN Podcast. Let's take a quick rundown over what happened last week. We had six fabulous games thrown in the bonus Colorado Edmonton game. Go Avs. Adam and I finished 4-2, so I am still a game behind Adam. I started strong 3-0 and then let it fall apart in the last two before wrapping it up with a win. Lonnie, not as lucky, 2-4 last week. He is 20-29 on the season. Let's see if he can make up some ground here. Let's see if he can get out of the San Jose danger zone here of the first line.
Ooh. Tough association there. Jesus. I mean, I've earned it. I got no problem with it, but
I was going to ask, do you disagree with it? But
no, it's tough association though.
Do you know what I'm happy about this year?
What's that?
That you guys are finally giving me a run for my money. Like the last 2 years have been boring, kicking your ass.
Oh, all right.
And I've kind of come down to your guys' level this year.
Is that what you've done?
Well, I mean, if you look at my history, yes. For entertainment purposes only, I've made people a lot of joy the previous couple of years. This year, still joy, but not as much.
All right. Well, let's see if I can keep the joy out of Mudville this week.
But by the way, I'm this is so easy for you. You can't screw up with 15 games on the schedule. You're bound to not screw up this week.
I'm bound to not screw
up. Almost the entire league is playing.
Have you looked at the slate of games this week?
I have, but I mean, it's easy. You've got 15 games. How can you screw this up?
You're going to find a way that I screwed this up. All right. Game number one. I like this one. Detroit at Florida. Adam, who you got?
You know, I'm going to lament first.
Yes.
Thank you, NHL. I know there's college basketball on, but, you know, putting a game like this in the middle of the afternoon on the well-distributed NHL network instead of talking to one of your partners, you know, mainly ESPN. Oh, wait, nope. They have college basketball too. Yeah, well, okay, at least you found something national to put it on. Guys, why Saturday afternoon? Why? This is not the Saturday afternoon to do it.
No.
Should it, like, yeah. Yeah. Florida.
All right. Lonnie?
Florida.
Can I lament more about the weekend? Can I just take another side note? So they're doing a Saturday game on TNT, a lead into college basketball. Why only one game on Sunday? Why not do a doubleheader?
Well, I mean, it's you have one game Friday, 15 on Saturday, one game Sunday.
Are we scared of Easter that much in hockey? Is this the Easter issue? Can't play on Easter?
Maybe.
After brunch, what the hell do people want to do besides watch sports?
You're asking the wrong person.
Richard, you're the expert on this podcast of Easter brunch.
I do not partake in Easter brunch, so I am.
You have the most experience.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that I don't have much experience with that.
Okay.
All right. Game number two.
I'm done.
Game number two. This, I think, is the juiciest game of the day. Nashville at Colorado. Lonnie, who you got?
I'm assuming Nashville's going to win Thursday in Arizona. if they're back to, if they had a tougher game, I might go a different way. I can't pick against Nashville right now, though.
All right, Adam.
Nashville gets at least a point in this game.
That's not what I asked.
Nashville gets at least a point in this game.
Okay, great.
So Colorado wins.
I think Nashville gets it.
Nashville, okay.
At least a point, yes. Because you're going to pick Colorado. It's a big
I have to be the homer, uh-huh. And I have to take Colorado. Yeah. So that's what I'm going to do.
Well, you're the one that told me Nashville plays Colorado really well.
They do.
Yeah, there's tape on that. There so is I'm listening to your that. Expertise.
Okay. They could play them really well and still lose.
Is that game of the day?
I think that's game of the day. Like, that is also the one with the most playoff implications for both teams.
There you go.
All right. Game number three, the New York Islanders at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Adam.
Tampa. God, ever since we hyped the Islanders a couple episodes ago, they've...
It's the PHN curse. We talk about a team and they tank. Yeah. Lonnie?
Lightning.
Don't take different just to be different. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. I'm taking Tampa here. They're going to finish strong, and they're going to get that third spot in the Atlantic. All right, game number four, Boston at Washington. Don't sleep on Washington. They're playing really well right now. Lonnie, who you got?
I'm taking the Caps. They are a feisty team, and Ovi is Ovi's starting to show up.
All right, Adam?
I hate that because that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, the exact same points.
So you're taking Washington as well. All right.
Yeah, you're being a homer again.
Boston.
You're a homer team.
Got to take Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my other homer team.
Watching that game last night, before we get into that, I've said it time and time again, every time Washington's on the power play, just man up on Ovi and play 4-on-3 on the rest of the ice.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the game last night, I'm more and more convinced. Like, he had a couple scoring chances off the power play. Wasn't at his best there, but why chance it? Just blanket him with one person and take your chances 4-on-3.
At least make him move out of the office.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Last game of the day, Vegas at Minnesota. So game to me. Adam, who you got?
This is where you screwed up. You almost went 5-for-5.
What? Show me what other game.
The last game of the day.
Dallas
two game? First place teams going at it. Are you kidding me? That you left that off? Did you not look far?
No. You're looking at today. You're looking at Thursday, not Saturday.
Crap! Never mind.
Yeah,
they're in Seattle.
No, I mean,
never mind.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Seattle Dallas game is not.
Yeah, that's dang it. I was looking at the wrong. This recording on Wednesday is messing me up. I retract everything I just said. You did a good job picking five games that meant something in the.
You can read your prepared statement. Go ahead.
I'm going to pick Vegas because Minnesota's a disaster right now.
Lonnie, you disagree?
They are rookie heavy. They are relying on a Calder runner-up way too much.
Calder runner-up, huh?
Oh, come on. Easy, Russo.
Listen, I think it's not as foregone a conclusion. But
okay, Russo.
It would look... I didn't say it wasn't going to be Bedard. I'm just saying it's not as foregone a conclusion. Vegas kind of needs this one. Keep pace. I go with Vegas. I'm not feeling great about it, though.
Okay.
Could I throw a sixth game in there just because of how a team is playing and how much they need it? Ottawa at Winnipeg.
Oh, like that.
Yeah. Like, not as, like, a week ago, yeah, no problem. But I'm like, does Ottawa have a chance here versus a really badly playing Winnipeg team right now?
I'd say they have a chance. I don't know if it's a great one.
I think they're going to win.
It's better. I will take Ottawa.
Yes. Okay. I was bold enough to, like, that's, there's something about this game that's a trip up.
Okay. Lonnie?
I'm going to take Winnipeg. I think there is something about this game that could be a trip up if Winnipeg were playing better, but they're not. Ooh. I think they need it. I think they need it enough.
Okay.
That they get right.
Yeah, I got to take Winnipeg in that one, and I'm taking Vegas in the other game since you jumped my pick for game five. Vegas because Minnesota and Winnipeg because Ottawa.
Okay. I followed that. You want to throw a seventh one in for fun?
No.
Well, non-NHL? Non-NHL 7-1 in?
Non-NHL? Okay. All right. Which, you just want
to
keep...
Which number one seed doesn't make it to the Frozen Four?
Oh.
Which number one seed doesn't... So you've got Denver, BC, BU, and Michigan State.
All right. Do you want to lead us off?
Lonnie. He's our college Michigan hockey State. Expert.
Michigan State.
Michigan State. Okay. I mean,
pains me. It pains me, but the toughest road.
Are we doing the only number one seed not to make it to
you get a point, first you get one a point to go out? You get a point if you're a prediction. You can't go who's going out first because of timing of games. That's not fair. As long as they go out, you get it. So there could be multiple winners here.
I hope I'm wrong, but the Spartans have the toughest road to get there.
They do.
By far.
Yeah, I think two number one seeds. I think they're one of them. I don't think BU gets to St. Paul.
Okay.
Interesting. No. I think Minnesota takes them out.
Potentially, but I think any of those teams can take them out. Yeah. Because they are so heavy on one player, and you just the right game plan, the right goalie shuts it down.
I think I'm going to side with Lonnie on this one. I think it's going to be Michigan State.
That's the easy answer.
It is. So, and I want the easy point.
I'm just saying it is. I mean, looking at that, that's the toughest road.
It is.
I think it's the toughest road. I think Denver also. They're the only team going east.
As long as they get out of the first round, though, it's easy.
It should be. It should be.
But they have to get out of the first round. True. Yeah.
True.
All right.
There we go.
So that does it for our picks of the week. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at PHN Podcast. And if you want to use the hashtag PHN Picks, you can submit your picks with us and see how well you stack up. And let us know which number one seed is not making it to the Frozen Four.
There you go. It's time for the final segment. We get to talk about anything we want. I've got a rant this week. So, want me to go first or you want me to go last? We change up the order.
No, let's,
what do you want?
Bring the rant. Bring the rant. The second line energy. I love it.
I'm pissed at Alphabet, the makers of Google, the makers of Google Podcast. So they are retiring Google Podcast on April 2nd and forcing you to YouTube Music. Also owned by the Google people. The interface for good old YouTube Music and the way the podcasts are, not nearly as good as Google Podcast standalone. I got to find a new service that the problem is the one I was looking at, like Pocket Cast, everybody's recommending, but for it to be on your desktop, because I like to listen when I'm at work, like the web browser costs money. The app doesn't on your phone. So I'd have to pay $40 a year for a podcast listening thing. So now I'm debating which one I go to because I'm pissed. Google Podcast was great. Everything, the user interface, the way it didn't autoplay. It's like YouTube Music likes autoplaying and stinks when your Google Maps talks to you and doesn't autoplay back your episode. Not happy. Not happy. What do you want, Richard?
I got a question.
Don't talk about anything that resembles a fruit because I don't use fruit products.
Well, I wasn't going to go there, but you can always use an iPhone. First of all, how much do you use your phone for work during the actual work day?
That's a loaded question. It depends how many people are calling.
Like,
but I want to run it on my third screen. I run my podcasting off my third screen. That's what I have a third screen for.
Just use your phone.
It's for Dan Patrick to watch him in the morning. Then I switch to podcasts.
Okay. I was thinking just an audio podcast and you could just listen.
I do after the DP show, everything's audio the rest of the day.
And just use your phone.
But then that runs the battery, which shortens the life of my phone, then I can't get 3 to 4 years out of my phone.
Plug it into your computer. It'll be fine.
But then it doesn't play on my speakers. I have external speakers attached to my PC that aren't compatible with my phone because I don't have a mini jack on my phone, which is what my Boston audio speakers with the boomer down below, otherwise known as subwoofer.
Okay. I'll let you be angry. Okay.
You have any suggestions of a good, besides your Apple podcast crap that you people use?
Quite the first world problem.
It is 100%.
Acknowledge that at least. Okay, good.
$1,000 tickets if I want to see NCAA hockey, and I have a podcast app issue.
That's right.
I just use your phone. That's my suggestion.
Okay, you're so young, kids, Lonnie. These kids are like desktop usability.
Just taking the easy road out.
So nothing. You guys can't help me at all.
No.
Do you guys both use Apple Podcasts for your potting?
Yes.
Mm. Yep.
Okay.
Worthless. It's easy enough.
If anybody has
any it all works together.
At Adam _PHN. Do you have suggestions?
You can use Apple products. They all work well together.
I prefer other products. They work better.
Okay. But not together.
Especially if they have two letters next to them. And it's similar to Harry Potter. That's what I suggest. Just saying.
Okay.
Maybe bias.
Maybe a little bit.
Hey, Richard, your turn.
Oh, am I following that? I thought Lonnie was the one who typically follows the dramatic and audacious.
Wow. Thank you.
But
I think those are compliments.
I guess not. Sure. Yeah,
I mean, the word dramatic gets thrown around my house quite a bit with a 12-year-old around.
I got nothing much, but during the podcast, you guys got me thinking with the whole Mystery Alaska and Russell Crowe as a hockey player. What was more believable, Russell Crowe as a hockey player or Jean-Claude Van Damme?
You're calling back to two episodes ago.
Russell Crowe.
Well, actually, sudden death is more believable because the roof actually did open.
That is my part.
Remember, I've come around on sudden death with the fact I learned about the igloo.
I got to go with JCVD on that one. More believable as a hockey player. That's it. That's all I got this week.
So a rant, a double movie reference encompassing two episodes of the first slide, and now Lonnie.
Yep.
Honest to God, I don't know how I'm supposed to follow this, but I'll try. We have spent a lot of time talking about college sports this week, and I know this piece has been out for a week. I just had time to finish reading it. Wright Thompson at ESPN, who I have long thought is the arguably the best sports writer in America,
long form,
particularly long form sports feature writer, writing. Wrote an unbelievable piece on Caitlin Clark, where he spent the better part of the last 8-9 months reporting the story out. And it's just an incredible read and really encompasses sort of who Caitlin Clark is as a person and how she's developed as a player and, you know, one could even say icon of college sports, not just women's basketball, but college sports in general right now. It's a phenomenal read. Take a half hour or 40 minutes out of your day and get into it. It is well worth it.
Yeah. Nothing Wright writes ever takes a short amount of time to read.
No, it never does. But it also sent me down a rabbit hole about one of the games he referenced in the piece where they were 25 down at Michigan a couple of years ago, got it to within 6 before losing. They only had 7 players because of injury or illness. And she scored, I don't know, 23 points in the fourth quarter, like logo threes left and right. It was which has sort of become the signature, but it was just such a, it was a fun rabbit hole to go down because just such a tremendously talented athlete.
And I believe that was 2 years ago before she was quote unquote Caitlin Clark. Cause that's right. I mean, that was like the season before we knew the Caitlin Clark. There you go. Sums it up.
There you go.
By the way, just another side note, Big Ten women's basketball the last 3 years has been really, really good. If you're into women's basketball, don't sleep on the Big Ten the last 3 years. Some really good teams at the top of that conference.
Yeah.
College hockey coming up, college basketball coming up. 15 games on your Saturday evening, 14 on your Saturday evening, one on your Saturday afternoon. NHL slate, lots of sports to watch this Easter weekend. Enjoy it. For Richard Cote, Lonnie Goldsmith, this is Adam Minnick. Thank you to our friends at My Custom Sports Chair and FOCO and the Chicago Wolves store and Manscaped for making this possible. It's been another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast.